Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, please. Luke chapter 17, the Gospel of Luke chapter 17. I'm in the Gospels at the moment as I'm reading through the Scriptures, and I was struck by this wonderful account of the healing of the 10 lepers. So I'd like to share a message this evening on what does it mean to be truly thankful. What does it mean to be truly thankful? Let's read Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 13. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 13. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Let's bow for prayer. O God, once again we come into your presence asking that your Holy Spirit will teach us and make application to our lives. I pray, O God, that you'd meet each one at that point of need this evening. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. As a way of introduction, the Bible teaches us in verse number 11 that it came to pass that as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. So verse 11 teaches us that Jesus Christ is passing through the midst of the states of Galilee and Samaria. And then in verse 12, we are told that as he enters a certain village, he is confronted by 10 men. And verse 12 tells us these men were lepers, and they stood afar off. These men had a terminal condition. No cure available for leprosy in biblical times. One symptom of leprosy was that you would lose limb by limb. It was a contagious condition, and that's why the Bible teaches us in verse 12 that they stood afar off. Leprosy would eventually kill you. There was no hope outside of a miracle. And the Bible teaches us in verse number 13 that they called out for help. They lifted up their voices, no doubt collectively at the same time, and they cried out to Jesus Christ and they called him Master, and then they said in verse 13, "Have mercy on us." They asked for mercy. "God, have pity on us," was their cry. God is merciful. And he delights to rescue us from our miserable, sinful condition. These lepers, this group of 10 men that were lepers, acknowledged their need for mercy. They were in a pitiful state. And God delights to hear the cry of the pity. And he hears their cry, and they cry collectively, "Have mercy. Mercy." Note then verse 13, "Have mercy on us." I think of a man in Luke chapter 18. In the following chapter, verse number 13, he cried out to God and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And my friend, if you and I will cry out to God for mercy, God delights to give mercy because he is a merciful God. In fact, the Bible teaches us his mercies are new every day. This group of men stood afar off. They had a highly contagious disease. They understood their own helplessness. My friend, do you understand your helplessness as a sinner before a holy God? The Bible teaches us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So before a holy God, we are undone. We are dead in trespasses and sin, the Bible teaches us. In fact, the Bible teaches us in Isaiah 64:6, we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousness are as filthy rags. So biblically speaking, before a holy God, we are condemned sinners deserving destruction, deserving separation. If you were a leper in the biblical setting, you were isolated because you were contagious. You were kept away from normal, healthy civilians. Within the biblical setting, there were what were referred to as leper colonies, where lepers lived. They were ostracized. They were isolated. A very familiar word today, is it not? And so they understood what it meant to be afar off, to be set apart. And they cried out for mercy. And because you were contagious, you had to call out and tell people openly that you were a leper. So that way nobody came within a point of being contagious. And note there, the Bible goes on to teach in verse number 14, the involvement of the Jewish priests. Only a priest had the authority to declare a person leprous or no longer a leper. So this was a serious condition, and the Bible within, especially within the book of Leviticus, has much to say about the leprous individual. So the Bible teaches us that this group of 10 men cried out for mercy. And note then verse number 14, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So here in verse number 14, Jesus Christ heals the 10 men of their leprosy. Our Lord tells them to make their way to the priests. And as they made their way to the Jewish priest, the Bible teaches us as they were on their way, as they went, the Bible teaches us, they were cleansed. God cleanses them of this leprosy. And then the Bible goes on to teach in verse number 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. So we see one out of the 10, upon realizing that he has been cleansed of his leprosy, he turns back in order to give glory to God for his healing. Jesus Christ healed all of the 10, but only this one turned back. And note then verse number 16, it goes on to read, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And note the next little phrase in verse 16, and he was a Samaritan. My friend, all of us are needy. All of us are in need of mercy. The 10 cried out for mercy. God offered mercy. God provided healing, but only one came back and fell at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and expressed his thanksgiving and gave glory to God for healing. And this one, the Bible teaches us in verse number 16, was a Samaritan. So we would assume that the other nine were not Samaritans. The Samaritans amongst the pure Jewish people were despised because they were partially Jewish. And it's interesting that only one, being a Samaritan, came back and glorified God and expressed his gratitude for his healing. So we see here gratitude in the minority. And then we read on in verse number 17, and Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Jesus Christ expected each one to come back to him and say thank you. Does God expect us to be thankful? Does God expect us to express gratitude? Of course he does. Because he asked the question, where are the 9? Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? See, Jesus Christ expected each one to be thankful because he asked the very question, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? See, here in verse 17, we see and we have a reminder of the fact, and listen to me very carefully, church family, Jesus Christ expects us to express verbally our thanksgiving. Jesus Christ expected gratitude to be verbally expressed. He expected it because he said, where are the 9? Didn't I heal 10 of you? Where are the 9? He expected verbal gratitude. See, God expects us to be grateful. God expects us to be full of thanksgiving. And God expects us to verbally express that, not just be thankful within our hearts. And I'm sure that all of us are more so thankful and have much gratitude within our hearts, but our problem is that we fail to express it. And what Jesus Christ was expecting here, he was expecting verbal expression of thanksgiving. Now think about it, church family. Do you think the other 9 were thankful? Yes or no? I think so. I think so. But only one out of the 10 was prepared to come back and to say verbally and in our Lord's presence, thank you. And this is what brought glory to God. When you and I express our thanksgiving, it brings glory to God. And the Lord Jesus expected gratitude to be verbally expressed. He expected it. And a failure to be thankful fails to bring glory to God. A stranger, a Samaritan. So we would assume the other 9 were full-blooded Hebrews. Because why does Dr. Luke, who is given to detail, why does he focus upon the fact that he is a Samaritan? So I would assume the others were not. He, out of the 10, was a stranger, was, according to a pure Jew, outside the fold because he wasn't purely Jewish. He was only partially Jewish. And yet this stranger, this Samaritan, was the only one that came back and expressed his thanksgiving to God the Son for healing. This man's expressing of thanks, of thankfulness, was the outward evidence of an inward faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because note then verse number 19, please. The Bible teaches us, "And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." So no doubt this one out of the ten was one that in receiving that healing placed his faith in Jesus Christ as his Savior, as his Messiah. Because Jesus said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." The book of James, chapter 2, verse number 18 reads, "I will show thee my faith by my works." So this leper that was cleansed gave evidence of his faith in Jesus Christ beyond just physical healing. No doubt he experienced spiritual healing because Jesus Christ said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Expressing our gratitude is one way of openly demonstrating our faith in Jesus Christ. My friend, have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God teaches us that we can place our faith in Christ by simply receiving Him as personal Savior. And when a person makes that decision, they will have the presence of the Holy Spirit within them. And then in being controlled by the Holy Ghost, we can give evidence of the life of the Spirit. And some of those marks of spiritual life are found there in Ephesians chapter 5, please. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 19. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 19. In verse 18, we are told to be filled with the Spirit. Let's note in verse number 19, a mark of being controlled by the Holy Spirit, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. A person that is Spirit-filled, that lives under the control of the Spirit of God, they will naturally sing out spiritual songs. It will just come out of them. But also note then verse number 20, another mark of a Spirit-filled Christian. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Note the specific wording here. Giving thanks, plural, always, plural, for all things, absolute words, unto God and our Father in the name of Jesus Christ. So another mark of being Spirit-filled is that we express our thanksgiving. But also note verse 21, another mark of the Spirit-filled Christian, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. To be Spirit-filled, we need to have the presence of the Spirit. We are born again by the Holy Spirit when we place our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. When a person is filled with the Spirit, they will sing spiritual songs. It'll come out naturally. They will express thanksgiving for all things, even the little things, the bad things, the big things. And they will have a submissive spirit. These are all marks of the Spirit-filled life. And see, when the Lord Jesus said to that leper, "Thy faith hath made thee whole," this man gave evidence of his faith by coming back and worshiping and expressing his thanksgiving to the one that healed him, as opposed to the nine that did not come back. They received physical healing, but they did not receive spiritual healing. But this one in the ten received spiritual healing because Jesus Christ said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." And this harmonizes with Ephesians 5 that tells us the Spirit-filled life will not only sing spiritual songs, the Spirit-filled life will be submissive, but the Spirit-filled life will express verbally, say, "Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior? I trust you have. Because if you have, you have the presence of the Spirit. And if you have the presence of the Holy Spirit, then you can be filled with the Spirit. And if you and I are filled with the Spirit, then we can give thanks. We will express our thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us, "In everything give thanks." In everything give thanks. "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Consider this thankful leper. In being healed of his deadly disease, he would have found himself, and this is what struck me as I read this in my quiet time, in being healed of this deadly disease, this once leper would have found himself probably without any financial security. And that sort of struck me. And probably very lonely, isolated, possibly still considered a castaway. We're not told how long he has been a leper for. So he's healed physically, he's healed spiritually, but the probability is he has nothing. He has no home. He's been living in a leper commune for who knows how long. And yet he is thankful. Yes, he is healed. But in all probability, he has no money. He has nobody. And yet he is very thankful for the fact that he is healed of his leprosy. And that sort of struck me. And I thought about the fact that even though he is healed, God has performed a miracle. We're not told that at the same time, God provided a house for him. God provided a job for him. God reunited him with his family. No. But yet he's thankful. And I meditated upon the fact that within this example, we have an individual that was truly thankful. Let me just share a few further thoughts concerning what it means to be truly thankful. You might want to write these down. Number one, we don't need to have everything to be thankful. Amen. We don't need to have everything to be thankful. Yes, no longer a leper. But did this mean that he now had financial security? He was fully accepted, reconciled to his family and friends? In all probability, no. In 1 Timothy 6:8, the Bible teaches us, "And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." We don't need to have everything to be thankful. This man is healed. He's healed of his leprosy. He doesn't have everything but he has something. And to be truly thankful and to be one that expresses that thankfulness, he or she understands that we don't need to have everything to be thankful. And secondly, write this down. We can be thankful for what we have now that we didn't have in the past. We can be thankful for what we have in the present that we did not have in the past. That's why the wonderful hymn, Count Your Blessings, is such a beautiful hymn to sing. Count your blessings, name them one by one. A classic example of this fact is found in 1 Timothy chapter 1, please. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Note here in the testimony of the great Apostle Paul. So to be truly thankful, we don't need to have everything. And number two, we can be thankful for what we have now that we didn't have in the past. And this is what the Apostle Paul reflects here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, violent. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. See, we can be thankful for what we have now because we didn't have it previously. What do you have now that you did not have at one time? What do you have now that you did not have at one time? The Apostle Paul said, I am thankful for what I have now because I didn't have it once upon a time. See? And a person that can get their brain around that little thought will express thanksgiving. I have now what I once upon a time did not have. A wife. Children. A job. Close friends. My friend, don't take for granted what you have now that you once upon a time did not have. And a person that will express thanksgiving regularly, he or she understands that we don't need to have everything to be thankful. Do you think this leper automatically had everything? Do you think the government came in straight away and said, oh, we'll help you out. We'll provide a job. We'll provide accommodation. We know you've been a leper. We know you've had a hard life. It's been rugged. Now we'll provide accommodation for you. We'll provide some food parcels for you. We'll provide a job for you. What else would you like? No, all he got was healing physically and healing spiritually, but yet he was thankful because he had something now in the present that he hadn't had in the past. Amen. So this is why we fail to be thankful. We enjoy what we have, but we carry on as if we've always had it. Wrong attitude. We don't need to have everything to be thankful, number one. Secondly, we can be thankful because we have something now that we once upon a time didn't have. And another thought that struck me from the life of this leper was that we can express thanksgiving, thankfulness, when we understand that we have what really matters most. What really matters most. We can be thankful when we realize we have that which is most important. I might not have everything, but in Jesus Christ, I have that which is most important. I have life eternal in Jesus Christ. I have forgiveness in Jesus Christ. I have a peace that passes all understanding in Jesus Christ. I have joy to the full in Jesus Christ. I have direction. I have a hope in His soon return. We can be thankful in Christ Jesus, and we should express that thankfulness in Christ Jesus, because we have that which is really important at the end of the day. This man, this once upon a time leper, was destined to die because of his condition. But now he's healed. The leper has life now restored. He has good health restored. And this was enough to cause him to be thankful, because what's the point of having wealth per se and not having good health? To what avail? I think of the blind man that our Lord Jesus healed in John chapter 9, verse 25. He answered and said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Now I see. We can be thankful when we realize that we have that which is most important. And last but not least, another thought I had from the life of this healed leper is that we can express, and we should express, thanksgiving because we have more than most. We have more than most. See, this leper, as I thought about this leper that was healed, this leper was one in a million that had leprosy, now one in a million that has been healed of his leprosy. Was it normal for a person to be cured of leprosy? No. There was no medical cure for leprosy in Bible times. And I was challenged by the fact that this leper, and within the biblical setting, there were many that were leprous. Lepers were everywhere. There were plenty of lepers within the Bible times. And this one was healed. And I thought about the fact that we, as God's people, we are part of a blessed nation. And within our short national history, we are a first world nation. We are blessed with liberty. We are blessed with opportunity. We are blessed with prosperity. People from all over the world want to migrate to our nation. We are a blessed people. If we would consider that we have more than most within the known world, it should help us to be thankful. This man that was healed of his leprosy had more than most. What hope was there of the average leper? What possibility was there of the average leper ever being healed? Ever being cured? Zilch! Zero. None. We can be thankful because we have more than most people in the world. Instead of complaining about what we don't have, Let's be thankful for what we do have. Health, education are a priority in our nation. We are blessed more than most of the world's population. It was the prodigal's brother that had a wake-up call when his father said to him, "All that I have is thine." See, he failed to be thankful for the return of his prodigal brother. And the father had to remind him, "My son, all that I have here is thine." And beloved, you and I can be truly thankful when we understand that we have more than most people have in the world. We have clothing, we have food, we have shelter, we have a vehicle, we have the opportunity to work, we have hospitals that have doctors that know what they're doing, we have schools, we have so much. We have more than most people have in the world. See, this leper gave evidence of his faith by his expressive thankfulness. And this brought glory to God. He was truly thankful to God for what God had done for him. Now let me ask you this evening, are you truly thankful for what God has done for you? Are we truly thankful? The Bible teaches us as we move closer towards our Lord's return, people will become more unthankful. And that's what we see today. And I'm afraid this condition of unthankfulness prevails even amongst God's people. Let's express our thanksgiving because the Lord Jesus expected it. Remember what he said to this leper? "I healed 10 of you blokes. Where are the other 9? Where are the other 9? It's one thing to be thankful in your heart, but child of God, let me challenge you. Jesus Christ expects us to verbalize our thanksgiving. Verbalize our thanksgiving. And we can truly be thankful because we don't need to have everything, number one. We can be thankful because we have something now that we didn't have before. We can be thankful because we have what is most important, what really counts. And we can truly be thankful, child of God, because we have more than most, we have more than most people have in the world. We are blessed. So let me encourage you this evening to be thankful. And not only to be thankful within your heart, but to do as the Lord Jesus said, express that thanksgiving. Express it. Say thank you. In training our children, parents, you recall that time and time again you will badger your children to say, "Thank you, ta, thank you, ta." And if your child does not, the rest is history. And God the Father is challenging you and I, say thank you, ta, say thank you, ta, because thankfulness glorifies God. And thankfulness is a way that you and I can openly declare our faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word and thank you for the example of this one that was truly grateful for what you did for him. And Lord God, I pray that you'd help us to express our thanksgiving for all that you provide for us. Help us to be thankful for all things. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.